What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. Fam, we are 9 days into the new year and I hope that you have had an incredible time, especially if you've had time off. I hope that you've been present to life, been able to get outdoors, get away from your mobile phone, get away from technology, and just really do things that feel enriching for your soul. I say this because on the weekend, Jake and I had written two lists together, one of small date day ideas and one of bigger date day ideas, because something that I'm really desiring for 2023 is to experience more of life, the richness of life, the fullness of life, to feel like I'm alive and I'm living. And when I was looking through my memories from 2022, because Jake had to work so much, there wasn't a lot of memories of me feeling alive and living with him. A lot of behind closed doors stuff with Jake, of course, but not a lot of memorable experiences together. And that made me feel a little bit sad to not have them with him. So we actually spent the day yesterday doing one of our date day ideas. We put the phone away for the entire day, except I've requested I want one photo from each experience. So I have the memory as well. And I have the photo. I really love photos. So I have the photo of the memory. But that's something that I was thinking for all of you when it comes to Christmas, it comes to New Year's and everyone's plans. And I know we see a lot of it online. But yesterday when we did one of our date days, leaving our phone behind created so much space for a fuller day. So I really deeply desire that you got to have your full Christmas, New Year celebratory experience, holiday experience, if you gave yourself time off. And I really hope that you were able to disconnect at some point from the mobile device and see how much more of life you got to receive when technology was not present and when you weren't showing the rest of the world what you were up to, but you were just living for the purpose of you seeing and receiving and experiencing your day, your life, without anyone else to show. January 9th also means that true transformation starts tomorrow. Yes, I'm so fucking excited. I've been talking about my excitement for true transformation like I was talking about my excitement for Europe last year. It is 10 incredible weeks. It is all of these incredible, beautiful, amazing women coming into my world, putting their trust in my hands. I feel so grateful. I feel so honored. I feel so proud. It is my amazing support coaches. It is my amazing guest mentors coming along. It's just my entire team and all of my life's journey poured into 10 transformational weeks. I can't wait. Just the pre-reading alone has been cracking open these women's hearts since I gave it to them in December. So if you're on the fence, let this be your call, your sign, your signal right here, right now. Jump the fuck in. Get off that fence. Stop challenging the voice. If you're like, actually, should I lean in? Do I lean in? I've been thinking about it every time that I tune into this podcast. Maybe 2023 is my year. Maybe I downloaded Bec's free downloadables last year. Maybe I did fucking nothing with them. Is it my ego telling me not to? Is it my higher self telling me yes to? Just take the fucking plunge. I promise you, there is not one woman who has ever finished working with me that has said that was not worth my time, my energy, my investment. And really, if you were a woman who did say that, I probably shouldn't put this live on the internet, but I'm going to say it anyway. I just be like, fucking have your money back. And it's like, I've never had a woman that hasn't come into my world and said that was not just the fucking bees knees of transformation. I dare you. Lean the fuck in. Connect with me today. We start tomorrow. Let's fucking go. Fam, today I am interviewing an amazing guest. Her name is Jan Saunders. We're talking all things inner child and inner teenager. I know that this is going to activate so much inside of so many of you. Jana and I connected many years ago through a transformational in-person workshop with my mentor, Preston, and his wife, Alexi Panos. And we talk about the victim child and the rebellious inner teenager and what we can do as grown-ass adult women to be able to nurture both of those aspects of us that do exist inside of all of us and come out as actions, reactive actions in our world, in our lives. And perhaps you're not realizing until you tune into this today that it is your inner child, that it is your inner teen that is rebelling, that is acting from and reacting from victim. And perhaps this is the penny drop moment to open up so much awareness for you. I hope that you love listening to this episode just as much as I have loved recording it. If you do, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and Jana so that we can connect with you. I cannot wait to hear what you receive. Strap yourself in, fam. Let's fucking go. Jana Saunders, I am so excited to welcome you to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast. Thank you so much for sitting here virtually with me right now.
Thank you for having me. I'm nervous to see what you're going to ask me because it's, you know, vulnerable, raw and real, but it's so good to be here.
Oh my goodness. No, when I mean, recently for me, I feel like I'm diving straight into it, but recently for me, I had such a deep desire to connect with my inner teenager and the first woman that came to my mind to really be able to support me in that vulnerable process was you. So I feel like you're the perfect person for this vulnerable, raw, real space right now.
Yeah. And I think like for me, the whole journey has been like the vulnerability is absolutely my superpower. And with every woman, I'm like, if you just knew it's your superpower, like it is the most beautiful thing, scary thing that you'll ever experience. So like, I can't wait to see what comes up today because of that.
So, I mean, incredible. Like, let's dive straight in. Before we go into vulnerability being our superpower, because I know how much you speak about it's safe to be soft, and that's a massive emergence within me that I truly have not fully embodied yet at all. I'm like, just scraping the very top. And you were just this embodiment of it. And as I have known you for so long and seen such a spiritual, physical, just every single part and facet of it, transformation of you. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about who you are and the Jana that sits in front of me now?
Yeah. So it's so funny you say that. And I go back to the beginning of the journey. Like, so who I am now, I'm a coach, I'm a healer, I'm a woman, I'm a, like my most important thing, I'm a mother. Yeah. I feel like all of me. Like, so that, you know, like when I first met you, I was very lost. I was very confused. I thought I was something, but yeah, I wasn't all of those things. And this journey where I am right now, I feel very myself.
So are you open then to sharing a little bit with us? Because I'm sure the listeners are like, what do you mean the Jana that she was, the Jana that's here now? Like, you were a very different woman then. And how long ago might that have been? Five years?
Well, that was 5 years when I met you. But for me, it started when I was 25. So I was married, had a nervous breakdown, midlife crisis at 25. And I was a single mum, had only been married 11 months, and I completely was like spiraling. So that was like 15 years ago now. So I'd been doing work for about 10 years before I met you. So I was 10 years in thinking that I knew it all, was in a really good place, like was just going to this workshop to, you know, become a better coach. To like just harness a little bit more, learn a tiny little bit more. Little did I know that that 2 days was going to blow my whole fucking world up. And
side note for anyone listening, this is through our mentors, Preston and Alexi, their in-person workshop, The Bridge Experience. That's how, when Jana's talking about 2 days that will blow your fucking life up in the best way possible, this is specifically what she's talking about. Please continue.
Yeah. So it was really, they blew up a lot of what I thought was true, and my marriage blew up. Then really closely after that, we lost my sister-in-law and my nephew. So my heart blew up. So in a really small amount of time, like, so obviously I had the 10 years, but then in a really small amount of time, my world blew up in a lot of different ways, and it blew up and then I came through. So it's like everything, you know, that I didn't think I could go through, I went through, and then I just lost all care to take myself so seriously. So yeah, and then the last 5 years, it's really been just not letting my teenager sabotage, you know, I am not too much. You cannot be too much. Like, you can't say too much. You can't say the wrong thing. You can be naked. You can be this. You can be that. You can be playful. You can say no. You can be boundaried. You can love yourself more than anyone else. And all of those things are exactly what they're meant to be. So I think that's been a really strong journey for me in the last 5 years of really letting myself be seen and letting my beauty out and letting my love out and my heart and my, like, my coaching, my healing, my ability to hold this really solid space and, you know, connecting my voice and my spirit and my soul and all of that up and know that there's so much more to learn, right? Like, doing all of that, but also knowing, wow, like, you're only 41, Jana. Like, how amazing to, you know, where you're going to be going in another 20 years. So,
oh my goodness. I'm so excited to witness your journey. 20 more years of just more embodiment, more becoming. I'm curious, when you were in your midlife crisis, did you know that you were?
Yeah.
And when you were in that spiral, like you were fully aware that right now isn't working.
Oh, yeah. No, I couldn't eat. I couldn't get out of bed. I'd crawl to the kitchen. I had a baby, like he was like 18 months. Like I knew that it was really bad, but what I didn't know is how to get out. I knew in that moment that I was broken. I was fucked. I was a wreck. I was the problem. It was like all I knew was that it was me causing all this pain to myself and to the people that I loved. And I tried psychs and I tried this and I tried that, but I didn't have a lot of money. So I didn't really know where to go and get the help. But then I had one phone call with one man for 10 minutes in my kitchen one day. And like, he just like nailed it. He asked me a series of questions and got to the core wound within 10 minutes. And he gave me this tiny glimmer of hope that it wasn't just all me, that through circumstances in my life and choices in my life and things that were in and out of my control had got me to this point, and that there was a whole other future in front of me if I was willing to trust him. And I did. And I went to a 3-day seminar and I walked in as one woman, and I've never had that experience of her ever again.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was aware that I was spiraling to the point of not sure if I could be in on this side anymore of earth, and I knew I needed help. Everywhere I turned to, it didn't feel right. Like, just wasn't right. I left more confused, or I just didn't feel any hope. But within this personal development realm, which is why I'm so passionate about it, the human behavior side of it, because you get tangible fucking things that you can hold on to and learn from and grow from. And you're like, you get to make all this sense about your personality, about what's happened, but also about what's possible. And ever since that day, that very first day that I've walked through those doors, I've never stopped. Not one day have I never had a day that I have stopped being in her in some way, shape or form. Even if it's just for 3 seconds of finding like that little bit of space, I've never not, you know, I joke that I'm a born again because it kind of feels like that I'm like, I'm not a born again Christian, but in some way, something happened on that day and I was born again back home into myself. Like I was born again to come back home into my body, into my trust, into my joy, like my beauty, like my spirit. And I've just been committed to every single day taking a step home into whatever that looks like. And on that journey, now I'm committed to walking every other woman home and sprinkling just one piece of hope. Like I just say, if anyone could just take anything from anything, it's like holding on to that hope that there's something else outside of what you're experiencing right now. Because for some people, like for myself included, it's been moments of pure hell. Like it just felt like to live in that amount of pain in your body and not know where to go to for help. And now I can see there's so many ways that can help. That was a 10-minute conversation that saved my life.
That was literally going to be my next question for you. What would you say to any woman who is in that experience, feeling that amount of pain, maybe even battling with whether she wants to be this side of earth or not, very similar to what you were going through, and feels like she's exhausted so many potentially traditional methods of creating some amount of hope or peace or safety within herself, and she doesn't feel like anything is working. She maybe doesn't have a lot of money behind her and she's curious where next to go. What would you say to that woman?
Far out. That's a big question.
I mean, I'm going to put your details in the show notes first.
That's a big question.
That would be a great start.
Yeah, like I think financially we always have more money than we think we have. We always have more money than we think we have, but the issue is, and the issue for me back then is, you can't see your worth, so you can't see the money. So you can't see the match up between like the money and actually allowing yourself to spend it. So I would question like if you actually don't have the money, or whether the first part, or whether you do, but you've never allowed yourself to even question that you could spend that amount of money on helping yourself. I constantly see mothers spend so much money on their children, no questions asked, but the thought of them spending it on themselves would never happen. My first place would be go and put your feet in the sand and go and get your face in the sun and take a glass of water. So if you have nothing right now and you have no money and you're trying to find where to start, feet in the sand, face to the sun if you can, have a glass of water, hand to your chest, hand to your belly, and remember this conversation that they're listening to right now is that Jana has promised her something outside of this, that she's given me her oath, that there's somewhere outside of this and that she can just take wherever that is in her body and bring it into her heart and just rest there with hope. That would be the first place that I would start. And then find your breath, allow your breath to come into your body, allow your eyelids to soften, your face to soften, your belly to push out, push your belly as far out as you can to relax your shoulders, to wiggle yourself into yourself and allow yourself to start coming through. That's the very first place. If you have nowhere else to start there, then also who are you following? Who are you listening to? Who lights you up? Who's in your feed? Who's in your Instagram? Like what feels like truth to you? Because every time I went to a psych or someone that is more of a head person, nothing made sense, nothing landed. I would leave so confused, but I was like, but these are the people, right, that are going to help you. But always listen to how your body feels. 10 minutes with breath, I was like, there is something here for me. I have to follow it. And I found $1,300 out of nowhere and made that happen. I did whatever I could because I felt it and I was not fucking letting go of that because I knew my future and everyone's future, my baby's future was on that.
I resonate so deeply with that, as even when I did Stretch 22 with Preston at the time, I'd maxed out every credit card. No one was loaning me money, like as in financial companies. I was too stubborn to ask someone to lend me money. And so I was just like, I know that this man is my permission slip to my freedom. And he has something that he can access within me to support me to access that part. And I need to do something. I put everything on hardship. I ate boiled eggs. I was like, I didn't buy anything. I didn't have money for coffee at the time. I was like, I will do anything to scrape together this $2,500 because I know with every part of my being that he can help me. And I love that resonance around truth. I wanted to backtrack just a moment for any woman that's like, Jana, the amount of pain that I'm in, and you're talking about elements like sand and sun and breath, how's that going to help me? Like, what's that going to do for me? I just doubt. What would you say to that woman?
Because I think you think you're alone. You think it's you. But in this journey, you have to hand over to something bigger. Like when you're in that darkness, you have to know that you're being held. And I don't care what that heldness is for you. But for me, it is spirit. It is source. It is nature. It is the connection to another woman, which is Mother Earth. And I know it's like super woo, right? Like it's like when you're there. But lay down, put your whole body on the earth if you need to, and bang your hand on the ground and you will feel the vibration in your body that you're not alone. So I think for me, I didn't know about ego and I didn't know about spirit and I didn't know about all of these things that have helped me. But if you look at me and you see the truth in me and the trust in me, then you have to trust me. This is your first step. You have to learn to trust because you're here because you don't trust yourself. So if you can't trust yourself listening to this, like I would say, trust me. Do you trust me? Do I look like a trustworthy woman? You know, go through and look through my feed. Go and have a look. Go back through and look at my images. Like I know what fucking broken feels like. I'm not sitting here telling you something that I haven't experienced. But you have to know there's something bigger going on. And I guess that comes back to hope for me is that in that moment, but also reaching out to someone and being honest, like telling the truth, like saying how hard it is, like not suffering in this in silence as well.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So beautiful. And for that woman who's really attempting to solidify her trust, even in, say, for example, you right now, you've had a massive physical transformation since I've met you. Mm-hmm. Also, mm-hmm. would you love to share a little bit about what that journey was?
Yeah. So I think I had years of doing a lot of work and feeling a certain way on the inside and not looking that way. So I think I've lost, I don't know, 50, 55 kilos. I don't weigh myself, so I'm not sure how much, but I felt this certain way on the inside and I didn't feel like my body kind of looked like that. And over the journey after we lost Binny and Nalu, I was just like, I honestly was like, fuck it. Like as a memoir to them, fuck it. I'm just fucking doing what I want, like so clear on who I want to be, how I want to look, how I want to feel. And I actually don't care what anyone else thinks. And I've held on to that pretty much. But in
amazing,
fuck it in like fuck it, life is short. We're not getting out of here alive. Why am I letting my teenager run the show? Why am I letting my little girl run the show? Why am I prioritizing every mother other fucker above me? Why am I afraid to say that? Why is this? Like, and I was just like, in honor of the fucking amazing humans that they were, I will take that on. Like, I want to claim my part of this being seen in this world and having that spirit that they were just like, who fucking cares? Seriously, who cares? And it's like, my teenager cares and my little girl cares, but the truth is I actually don't. So I got really clear on that. And then I had gastric sleeve surgery and then it just opened every doorway up to me. Like I just making that decision and trusting myself and my body. Like I really checked in and I went and had a lot of healings before and just was like, is this congruent? Like, am I okay with this? And I have been, and I've been so proud of it. And I'm so open about it. And I'm so encouraging to every other woman that feels like a different version of themselves on the inside, but like the addiction, the food addiction, every personality addiction that goes with it and can't match it up, I'm like, there might be something here for you. Let's have a really honest conversation about it. So then that's been part of walking myself home and living with like learning to love the body of being 50 kilos lighter and then but also being in a body of cellulite and loose skin and stretch marks because you've been stretch so much larger. It's been a real, real journey, but I feel like that's where the safe to be soft like has really helped me come into like, you're so beautiful, Jana. Like your body tells a story of a woman that went through all of that. And this is just where you are right now. And I never thought I'd have the confidence to be photographed, you know, nude and hold events where women seeing me and there's no Photoshop, there's no control, right? It's like, yeah, whatever, take me from whatever angle and chuck it up and for the world to see. Never. And, you know, I'm not in a perfect body, but I'm in my body and it's perfect for me right now. And it's forever changing, right? Like as I get older and it's softening even more and my heart softening and my compassion softening for myself. And it's just been a huge journey because the pain that I was in through the weight and holding, you know, it's a lot carrying an extra 60 kilos around with you. Like it is a whole different life, like physically on your body, but on your heart and on your confidence, it was really, really hard.
Can I ask you a question? Did you find the extra 60 kilos came with the amount of judgment from the external world?
I don't, no one says anything to you. Like the judgment is actually more when you're, I felt the judgment more being skinnier in a lot of ways.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. So being thinner, people verbally would say, oh, you've lost too much weight or you've lost this. Or, you know, they were so openly judging you about your body when you were smaller because I think it was more acceptable. But when you're bigger, no one talks about it because it's like, oh my God. But I was pretty much often at points of my life, the biggest person in the room and by a lot, like looking back at photos and going to events and stuff, like often the biggest, I was the biggest judge of that. So I feel like sometimes people have compassion for really obese people. I think there can be maybe judgment, but also like, oh, that must be hard. That's how I felt. I never felt anyone really judge. But I was so critical and hard on myself. But yeah, I do think there is judgment, like, because like I was very healthy then. Like the food I would eat, the amount I'd exercise, like I was not unhealthy sometimes compared to what I'd eat now, right? Within the sleeve. So it's a really interesting thing to put judgment or to kind of box someone in and make all these assumptions about their body, because it's just so not true. And this journey has really showed me that. But I think openly people say so much more about you thinner to your face and about your body.
And what is your opinion of that when people come up, whether it's friendship, family, feel like they have almost a right to share their assumption with you about your body when you're thinner? What would you say to those people that do that? Because I think it's quite normalized in society. You look amazing. You lost a lot of weight. Oh, you need to eat a cheeseburger. You probably should eat something this weekend. My dad will do it to me in the summertime. I naturally lose my 3 to 4 kilos in the winter. He stops telling me to eat more. But like, so you need to eat. What would you say to people who do this?
I think the first thing I'd say, I know you're looking for connection with me, but can we do it in a different way? Like, so I wouldn't actually normally say that. But what I would say to people right now is, instead of let's connecting via body of you look so great, have you lost weight? Or you look like this, wow, like you're glowing, have you lost weight? Or, oh shit, you've lost a lot of weight, are you okay? Like, let's not connect like that with that person, but genuinely say, if they look amazing, that it's like, you look so well. Like, my gosh, you're glowing. Like, you know, like actually making a comment of, you know, how healthy they look, how beautiful they look, or something like that if they look well. But also if you're worried about them connecting in and going, oh, they've lost a lot of weight, like I wonder if they're okay. But knowing that you don't get to talk to someone about their body or say anything about their body, but genuinely if you care, say, hey, what's been happening? Like, how are things? Like, phone them, connect with them, take care of them. And go, I wonder if there's something more going on for them. And if they feel safe to, then it's up to them to come and share what's happening and why they've lost 10 kilos or why they're underweight at the moment or why they're looking really unwell. But it is not okay for anyone to say anything about anyone's body. And I've learned that through this journey. Like, I've learned that it's not okay to comment on someone's weight and say, you look great, you've lost weight. That's not okay. That doesn't do anything for anyone. It's like, but to say you look really well or you look really happy, my God, your eyes are so bright. Like, what the hell have you been doing? Your eyes are so bright. Look how vibrant you look. Or, you know, what, like, because, yeah, I think some people, they are really, like, stressed and they lose a lot of weight, or some people can get really stressed and gain a lot of weight. So it's so different for every single person as well, like weight loss. But I think if we genuinely get interested in connecting with the person, not how they look. And I think the generations are getting better at it. I think like for our parents' generation, it's very much like you've lost weight, you look good. Like it's a big compliment. It was the Jane Fonda days of dieting and all of that stuff. So they think they're doing something really beautiful and caring and loving by complimenting that you've lost weight. But I don't think they really understand in this day and age that that's not a compliment. There's so many more things that we want to talk about than that.
If you think my podcast is good, wait until you lean in and work with me. My loves, the doors for true transformation are now open. This is your opportunity to powerfully claim 2023 and make it the year that you desire it to be. Want to speak your needs, set clear boundaries, call in what's meant for you, embody the confidence to say no, break away from the fear of rejection, and learn to ask for what you want? Do you desire to be a yes to your yes and equally know your no? Are you sick of settling? Are you sick of sabotaging? Are you ready to reclaim your personal power? True Transformation is 10 intensive weeks with me to support you to break free from shame, break through unworthiness, activate your unique voice, and live your life alive, aligned, and on fire. My programs are fully supported with high-level accountability. No one gets to hide. Want to join us? We start January 10th. Head to the link in my show notes and apply today. Let's fucking go. And you feel like it is up to the individual in that moment to set the boundary and say, hey, I would prefer for you to connect with me in a way other than this, or it's offensive for me when you touch on my body, or I'd prefer not to speak. Like, for the person that's like, I just don't want to have my family members speak about what I look like at Christmas. I just want to be able to go and enjoy myself without whatever their projections and opinions are. What would you recommend to that person who's going through that experience? Especially when, I think, like you said as well, often there's not malicious intention behind the thing that the person's saying. Like, culturally, my nonna would say it to me. I know I'm going to Europe next month.
Yeah.
She's going to tell me how slim she thinks I am. I know, because she's done it my entire life. So I'm curious, when there's not malicious intention, but the person's just like, it's now crossing my boundary. I've done so much work on my own body and creating a relationship with her that I just don't want to hear this anymore. It's triggering for me almost. What would you say to that person?
Well, I think the first part within that is when there's no malicious intent, then that is when I'm talking to my little girl and teenager about it, of like explaining it to them first, of being like, do you know what, guys? Like, it doesn't, like, everyone will have an opinion on your body and we can't control that, but we can absolutely control what is happening inside for us. And like, first of all, when we hear something, if we don't want to hear it, we send ourselves love, or whatever it is that they need to know, of like, it's actually not okay if Auntie Susie comments on our body. I need you to know that, but I'm going to have the conversation with Auntie Susie about it, so you guys don't need to worry. So, you know, so first of all, the very first place I would start is, because it's normally them, like the woman in me is actually neither here nor there often if someone says anything, but it will be the trigger, the teenager or the little girl that's like, you know, feeling the shame or feeling the like the trigger from it. So I always start there, always will start there. And then sometimes within that, I won't need to say anything, but you could definitely have that conversation of being like, Auntie Susie, like, I know you're like wanting to connect with me and I love you so much, but I really, through my journey, I don't want to talk about my body anymore. So can we not say, you know, if I've lost weight or put on weight or if I, any of those things, and I don't want to upset you and I know, you know, but you're loving on her as you're saying it. So you can be boundaried and just, I'm really compassionate for that person because it's really hard for them to hear as well. Like, because they're like, oh my God, like, I do just want to connect with you. And I thought I would love for people that like, I love it when people tell me I've lost weight. Yay, because they're that generation. And you're just like, but let's not talk about bodies anymore. Let's connect in this way. What have you been cooking? Like, tell me, oh my God, I need that recipe, Auntie Susie. Like, we're in that place of like, I'm okay, she's okay. I'm okay, she's okay that she said that because she doesn't know any different and I've got compassion for that. And I'm okay that I'm going to let my guard down and share with her gently, like, you know, but that's just the way I do things. That's the way I
love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like going, it's essentially the vulnerability conversation, going within, speaking to the inner child, inner teen, and then vulnerably using our voice with our loved ones, which can quite often be the most courageous place in those intimate, meaningful relationships, to set, to be boundaried from, like you said, rather than aggressive electric fence kind of place, from a beautiful and loving space.
Yeah. And it can be playful. Like, it can be like, I know this is really uncomfortable, and let's, you know, can and stay connected with them as well. Like that.
I love the lightness that you bring to that.
Yeah. And Beck, it's so much easier said than done, right? Like, trust me, like, because body stuff for me is a thing, especially I've got children. If anyone comments, oh, you look really good, if you lost a bit of weight, like my mother bear in me, you know, it's a really, really.
It's not light and playful in those moments.
It's a really big thing, right? But straight away I go to my little girl and like, you know, and I'm like, it's okay. Like, we are the dominant provider here. Like, we are the ones that are modeling. Like, you don't need to worry, it's going to be okay. And yes, there's a conversation to be had. I just think weight loss is not, it's not a conversation. We genuinely should not be talking about people's bodies.
Yeah, I love that.
I just think that now.
Beautiful. I'd love to go into the inner child and the inner teenager, the little girl and the teenager, because some people will be listening and understand. Mm-hmm. And other people might be like, well, she got three people inside of her. She got a child and a daughter and a teenage daughter and an eight-year-old daughter. Like, what the fuck's going on? How many kids does this woman have?
Yeah.
So can we talk a little bit about that? Because when I think of Jana Saunders, I think inner child, inner teen, and really connecting with those parts of me so that I can bring more of my woman online to the world. Like, that's, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my perception and experience of you entirely.
Yeah. So thank you. So it's actually called transactional analysis. This is where the free child, rebellious teen, all of that, the language comes from. And I actually got taught it before I had my nervous breakdown. So it's been something I've been doing for like 17, even more, 18 years now. A counselor taught me this process. And essentially, it is understanding that inside of us, we do have, I'm going to call it the victim child, but we have that child that feels victimized, and then we have the rebellious teen. And within the last 15 years of the work that I've done and the women that I work with, there is a very strong rebellious teen voice within the ego, and then there's a very strong victim child. And those two seem to be running the show within the ego is what I see. And then we have adults. So there's Jana, woman, powerhouse, like, I'm okay, she's okay, feels really safe, feels really grounded, certain of herself, in like, in the place of love, that, like you say, that lightness, like the softness, all of those things. But within me, of the woman that I'm sitting here that feels really safe with you right now and really equal, there would be a teenager, and then there's that inner child. So you may possibly ask me a question and we're fine at this moment, but you might say something and it really triggers and it goes into the wounds of the teenager and you harness something in there, and then I'm like, walls are up, shutting down. Oh my God, why did I agree to go on this fucking podcast with Beck? Like, you know, so it can happen like that. And then, yeah, so we're accessing different parts within that. So part of what I do is learning to meet the needs of both of them and understanding the wounds of both of them and their needs, and yeah, how I get to speak to both and the boundaries, really different boundaries that I need with both of them, and also how they take me out. So every woman has, like, you know, your teenager, right? Like,
and oh yes, I know my teenager well.
Yeah. Yep. So often,
has this run my life for the better part of 30 years?
So just a very quick breakdown is the teenager for me, she's the one that has a heavier energy. She suffers more with the depressive energy. She Netflixes, she overeats, she binges, she stays up all night, she scrolls, she cancels plans. She's just very in her body. Like, she doesn't, she'll get takeaway for the kids. There's that kind of energy with her. And then years ago, so I would do that, and then I would like, I'm getting my life together. I'm so sick of that darkness and that energy that I would get my life together, and I'd flip it all the way over to, oh my God, everything's going to be organized. I'm going to clean every drawer. I'm going on a diet. That's it. No more sugar. And I very much get my life together into this perfect, like, manicured, perfectionist life, so we never have to experience that darkness again. And that's the victim child. So that is the one where we go into this very strong, controlling, anxiety ridden, go, 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 do, 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 masculine, adrenaline kind of state. And these two are like, so we think we've got our life together because we're sitting over in the perfectionist, but really we've just flipped from rebellious teen to victim child. And this is where most women are living. Between the two of these is where they're evolving. And then they come to me and they've been doing this yo-yo cycle, a roller coaster. And this is what I have done and have still do some days. But in the middle, there's this like adult, solid, grounded, like certain fucking fabulous person that feels really safe and whole. And within nurturing parent and free child, there's a beautiful weave between those. And when we learn to live there and show up and do things for ourselves every single day, like for me, getting up at 5 a.m. and getting on my yoga mat, doing cold water therapy, I don't drink coffee, I don't drink a lot of alcohol, not being on my phone too much, very small but adulty, very boring things to the teenager. Yep. Very hard things for the little girl to sit still on the yoga mat to quiet the mind and all of those. But when I do all of these things, I get to hold my nervous system in a certain way so I can let me out. I can be on camera right now chatting to you, feeling confident, feeling safe in my nervous system, which I feel right now. I feel really safe because I've had a conversation with the two of them. It was like, you are actually safe. Like, you're not going to get this wrong. And that is, it's really in depth. And I could talk about this. I can spend 12 sessions with a woman in just this thing, going through the ins and outs. But it is a map for your whole being when you really understand it and you start to recognize what you need to do to help love on the teenager and what you need to do to help love on those wounds of the little girl, then together you get to bring yourself back home because you're helping your nervous system, because you're learning to choose yourself and use your voice to put yourself first and teaching all the other parts why that's okay and why it's actually the most important thing you can do.
I love that so much. And I've seen your map. And if you're open to it, we can put it in the show notes as well. We don't have to. That's up to you. But I'd love for anyone listening that's like, nurturing parent and free child, are you talking about my mum, my dad, and my little sister? We can come back to nurturing parent and free child.
Yeah.
Can you just let us know what that really means?
Yeah. So when we're really high in victim child, like when we're sitting there, our anxiety is really high and we're out of our body and we're just wanting to be so controlling and so structured and so regimented and everything, I will be like, oh my God, I've just cleaned the house. Why is this coffee cup here? And who spilled this? And everyone around me is walking on eggshells, right? And everyone's like, fuck, she's manic. That's when we talk about women get really manic, right? We're out of our bodies. So we're going through that and it means that I need to come into my exhale. So in nurturing parent, it means I need to slow down. I don't need to go for a run. I don't need another cup of coffee. I don't need to do more. I need to come into my being. So it's like, what do I do to being? So in that nurturing parent, I'm pottering around the house. I'm on the yoga mat finding my exhale. I'm putting my feet in the sand and my face to the sun. I'm cooking really beautiful meals. I'm making little fruit platters for the kids. I'm putting on a face mask. I'm, you know, doing my hair. Like all of these very slow things to help me. I'm drinking water. I'm eating properly. Like I'm actually eating enough food.
And is that, for clarity's sake, to be your own nurturing parent to yourself, to the victim child, to the rebellious teenager?
It is. So in that, you're nurturing that victim child as in their nervous system. So you need to, so you're grounding in to meet the needs of that little girl. So in that time, you are meeting the needs of her. You're like, we need to bring your parasympathetic nervous system back in because it's so heightened. And this is how you do that. So yeah, it's like, when I know I'm really anxious and everyone's walking around on eggshells, I know that I'm in a huge amount of fear. And I'm controlling because I'm really scared. So I need to get clear what I'm scared of. And then, okay, so and another way to do that. Yep. So that's when I go into nurturing parent. And adult will always be, that'll be the foundation for everything. You will do that through all of it. You will need to. But yeah, when I'm really heightened and feel really controlling and anxious, then I know I need to step into nurturing parent and really bring that nervous system back in. But when I'm on the couch and when I'm like Netflix, like don't want to get up, I want to cancel plans, like when I'm, it's very rare that I have that now, but, or I don't want to be seen or all of those things, then free child is, that's when I know I need to go for a run. I need to move my body. I need to do some push-ups. I need to create some adrenaline in my body because I'm flatlining. I need to have a shower. Like, hygiene for the teenager, it's when women don't want to wash their hair, they can't be fucked how they look, they don't care, they haven't had a wax, like they just have just let everything go. So I will book in for a wax, I'll go get my nails done, I will get in the cold shower, I will do the hard thing because the teenager's like, I can't be fucked. Like I drag my ass to the beach. You know, I'll go to the beach and I'm like, she's like, I can't be bothered. It's so cold. And I'm literally whinging as an adult woman. My whole way over there. The teenager in me is so strong, and I get in the water and I get out and she's completely gone. No access, no voice, no whinging. She's like, cool, let's go cook dinner. Fuck, I feel amazing. And adult Jana, like me, who feels safe and whole and present and proud and just, I'm okay, you're okay, she's back. So I have a very strict morning routine of doing very, what I consider hard things, which is 5 a.m. and then a cold shower or ocean swim to eat that frog. So then my teenager's not present. So then I have all this space within me because I've done those hard things that she would have just whinged her ass off about all day if I said I was going to do it. And I get in and I do it and I'm free. I'm free and she's proud and I'm proud. And, you know, it's just this weave that I've learned to have these boundaries with these two within me that have very strong needs, and I understand why they're there. But I get to meet them in a really healthy way instead of all the unhealthy stuff that I used to do before, like drugs, sex, stealing, lying, porn, food, whatever it was. Yeah.
I feel like so many women would be listening right now and think, I never knew that I would have a child or a teenager inside of me, but I resonate with all the different symptoms that you just spoke about, the sex, the drugs, the social media scrolling. I have this like rebel in me that just like can't be fucked. And then I have the other version of me that's like, all right, I'm over, can't be fucked anymore. Now I'm going to swing the pendulum to the complete opposite end. I'm going to be perfect. Start my diet on Monday, saving all my money. I'm doing my thing. I'm going to put my timers on my Instagram. And then that'll last for so long until I'm in the rebellious phase again. I can't be fucked. I'm ordering Uber Eats. I'm eating the Netflix. And she's like, oh my God, you are resonating so much for me. Like, what is, if I was that woman right now and I decided to never honor my child or teen, if you were to like paint a picture of what that's going to create for life going forward, what would that look like? Because some people might be like, it's fucking weird to think that I have a child and a teenager inside of me. And I'm a bit resistant to this acknowledgement of having two girls inside of me that I get to connect with. If they were feeling resistant and they chose not to go down this path, what would life end up looking like?
So I think what happens when we don't make a choice to heal from the inside and take responsibility to be an adult, we actually take our wound. So I call it like a wound here and like wherever it is. I normally grab the side, but we constantly bleed out on the people that we love. So we're constantly looking to fill up on the outside that we're never going to be beautiful enough. We're never going to have enough money. Like, you will never have enough, and you'll always be looking for things externally to make you feel better. It means you'll always be asking everyone else's permission of who you're going to be in the world. You're always going to be asking everyone like, oh, I need to hear this from that person so I feel like this. I need more money. I need more clothes. Yeah. And you'll never feel full and enough, and you'll never have contentment in your body. But at the same time, you will never have that, and you'll constantly bleed on people and project your wounds on everyone else, spraying them with your hate, with your pain, with your fears, with your woundings from these two. And it costs you so much in your life. So it costs you, but the people around you are getting really hurt. So I would say it will look like a deep world of pain and misery and confusion and self-doubt and fatigue and health issues as you get older, I think, as women get older and they're not allowing, it's all knocking. We all know that it's there. But yeah, it's not rocket science, as in you've had a life and you lived on a timeline and you're a little girl and you were a teenager and all of these things happened that made really big stories up inside of you and belief systems and made you look and value and see the world in a certain way. And we get to adult and we think that's true. We think that is the truth with the capital T. But it's not. But it's not. But that is what's running our nervous system. That is what's running. Those needs are coming from those places. So when we really understand that and get really honest, like those women could say that, and I would say, let's have a 40-minute conversation, a real honest conversation about it. And then after that, if you still tell me that's not true by what I've asked, then I absolutely honor that. But it is true. It's true in every single human that I know. But it's the most tangible thing that I use in my daily life that has transformed how I show up and what I can tangibly do. Because we can go to these workshops and yes, they're phenomenal and we have all these breakthroughs and we can have spiritual breakthroughs, like all these things. But when you get home, it can go out of sight, out of mind. It can just be like, you know it, but your teenager, she's like, yeah, I know that, but who cares? Like, I know I've been doing that, but, you know, like, I'm good. We're good. Like, we don't need that. We had it. It was great, but we don't need that now. And she won't let you implement the thing. She won't, you know, so you really got to learn how to get really firm with her and, you know, you mentor her, like you pour into her, like I pour into her. I'm like, you are so beautiful. You have such an amazing voice, which she doesn't want to use because she got knocked down one day for being a leader, for standing up. She got absolutely fucking slaughtered. So the work I've had to do on teaching her, you are safe. Like you have so many things to say that so many men and women actually do want to hear. And you know what? There's people that don't want to hear it and they won't like you. They won't like you at all. And that's okay.
I feel like I've had this conversation with my teenager and child as well.
Yeah, that's okay. But she doesn't, you know, it's just constantly showing her. But it's like, but also at the same time, I'm like, quit your fucking whinging. We're going to the beach. I don't give a fuck what you're saying. Get your bathers on. Let's go. So there's both. Like I'm loving with her, but I'm also like, no, stop. That's enough. Let's go.
I love that. Would you say that it is you creating this really rock solid relationship with the child, with the teenager, that has created that permission for you to feel safe to be soft?
Yeah, because I have awareness. Like awareness to me is key. Like I've pieced my puzzle together and I'm like, it's not just all scattered everywhere. I've got like this beautiful from the land up. Like, of course there's pieces missing because I don't know it all, right? But I've really pieced this puzzle together to create these foundations to go, how am I choosing to show up? Where am I taking responsibility and where am I prioritizing myself? Because I want to prioritize myself so I can have a connection with Shane, so I can have a connection to my kids. I don't want to bleed out on my kids. I don't. And I know that I am and I will because we're human, right? I'm going to fuck it up and my teenager's nearly 18 and, you know, I have to step into forgiveness every day for parts of our relationship when he was growing up because I was really a massive teenager, the teenager raising a baby and it wasn't good. But that's where having compassion and knowing how to come and nurture myself and be like I said the other day, I did the best job with the nervous system that I have. And that's what this is all about, Beck. It's like, how do you nurture your nervous system to do the best job for you so you can show up for yourself, so you can love yourself, so you can let all of your love out? Because letting your love out is the fucking scariest thing you'll ever do. Letting all of your love out and letting people really see you. Like this is like my teenager now, she's like, stop talking. Just stop talking. Could you just stop talking? I'd be really grateful if you could just stop saying everything right now, right? Because she's just like, you know, but what if they say this? And yeah, because I'm being really open. But it is that holding of myself and knowing it is nobody else's responsibility to meet those needs first. Like, yes, it's their responsibility. Of course I want my husband to support me and love me and meet those needs, but I have to be doing it for myself first before I have that expectation that it's his job to meet those needs. Because if you don't, when I wasn't doing that, I would be looking at him as a father figure trying to heal the little wounded little girl within me. Because I wasn't doing that. And that was very much of our relationship. It was like I was expecting and having all these expectations, but it was because of my own, because I don't know my dad. I don't know my biological dad. So I had to do all this work with my little girl of being like, hang on a minute. That's not actually something you ask your husband of. You're just looking for that from your dad because you really wanted that. And I genuinely feel really sad thinking about that. You know, and it's like, that's the work, right? It's like, oh, it's getting clear of like, oh, that's not on Shane. that's on what I'm still yearning for. And then I go and do the work with my little girl on that, and I'll go and have a healing or just sit and just allow the grief of, I really wanted that because I thought it would, you know, mean this and this. So, and that's the beauty of this work, is that you feel it, but you can just see it for what it is a little bit more, and adult a little bit harder to make yourself feel safer. And then that is where that, for me, you know, I am a very soft, loving person, and I wear my heart on my sleeve. And, you know, as much as my teenager just cringes, it's actually what I've learned is just that is the thing I'm most proud of the way I let my truth out and the way I let people see me. And I don't, you know, you can go on my page. I'm really open about love and feelings and, just all of the things within life, because I think it's a really important starting point for everyone who meets me.
I love that about you as well. So beautiful. Why, Jana, do you feel women are scared to be soft?
I think, like, I honestly, when I felt like this man was encouraging me to be vulnerable in this workshop, and I put my hand up and I was like, You're fucking stupid. Like, this is stupid. This conversation is really stupid because...
Is that the rebellious team?
Completely. I was like, but I think people are scared because they haven't... I had no context on what it could be like. All I knew was you had to be strong. You were the only one you could rely on. Like, you don't trust men. Like, you are the one that needs to be in control. Like, so you have to be, like, bounded and strong. And And you're telling me that, like, I can trust and, like, let love out and, like, be soft with men and with other people, and that they won't make fun of me or that I would feel safe. That was just, I had no context. So I think women don't know how to do it and don't want to do it because they don't know another way. They haven't maybe been around enough women that are doing it and go, well, she's really soft and she seems really happy and she's really safe and she seems like she's got a strong voice. Like, I have a really strong no. Like, I really, really strong no. Very strong boundaries. And those boundaries get stronger the softer I get. Like, wow. Those boundaries get stronger because my walls are down and I know what's wrong and right. Like, I know what feels wrong in my body. And I'm like, no, that's not okay. I'm not okay with that because I can feel it because I'm in my body. I'm in my softness. So I feel everything. I didn't feel anything before because it was out of my body. I was out living outside of my body. I just felt hard and I was guarded from the outside. Whereas now I'm like, you know, but it took the biggest, you know, death identity. You go through the biggest, like, you know, of doing that. But yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, but.
No, I love it. Do you believe, like, circling all the way back to the beginning, that vulnerability really is our superpower as women? And why do you believe that?
Because it's the most honest thing you'll ever feel. There's nowhere else to go. Like, when someone tells you the truth and it's from inside their body, you feel it. It's like the truth. And there's nowhere to go with it. You're just like, you're just in. And whenever someone is vulnerable, like, people lean in. They, like, without even knowing, they're like, because people want to help and they want to be close to people that are honest. To me, I think it is the most, you know, your most strongest, like, it is a superpower because it's the most honest thing that you can be, I think.
I love it so much. I could ask you questions all day long just so that you know. I have one more for you. The podcast is called Raw, Real and Vulnerable. And I'm curious, what does being raw, real and vulnerable mean for you in your life?
What does raw, real and vulnerable? I think just making sure I'm going in every day to make sure I'm coming all the way out. So making sure I'm really being courageous with how I'm showing up and the level of vulnerability and the level of rawness and the level of transparency, I think that's what it means to me. It means it's nearly like equal to breath. Like that's how much it means to me, as in being vulnerable feels like the equal amountness of the needing to breathe as needing to be vulnerable. I think because it's honest, and I spent a lot of my life lying to myself and to a lot of other people. So I think that's why vulnerability is so important to me, because it's the truth. And truth to me is really, really, really important, because it makes me feel really safe.
Truth makes me feel really safe and proud. I love that so much. Thank you, Jana Saunders, for spending and sharing time with me today. It's such a privilege to be here in your space. For any woman who is like, I have the rebellious teen and the victim child, like everything you're saying, I didn't even know that she existed, but oh my goodness, you have penetrated my heart with your voice. And I really do believe that I trust you. I'm going to put all your details in the show notes, but where can she find you? How can we connect with you?
So at Instagram is Daya_clarity. We've got Daya Clarity on Facebook, and yeah, all my details are in there. If you go to Instagram, that's where you'll find me. But if you've got all the details in there as well.
And do we have any naked running beach events coming up? Because I see them going up online all the time. Is there anything for the Perth women that they can get around anytime soon?
Yeah, so we're about to launch something. So jump on my page. It's coming out within the next like 3 weeks. There will be something, but we haven't released it yet. So there's an event coming up. It's the Safe to Be Soft first birthday. So she's about to have her first birthday. So we're going to like celebrate that in style, and hopefully gather and bring as many women together to, yeah, be in their bathers and connect and do all the beautiful things that our bodies can do and our hearts can do. So, yeah.
Oh, how incredible. And maybe we can even have that in the show notes for when your episode releases. Incredible. Jana, it's been such a privilege.
Oh, thanks, babe. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.